Hello and welcome to the Amazing Leader Series. My name is Karen Volo, Chief Joybringer and Founder of Evolution, and I'm very excited to have Michelle Gielen here today. She is an amazing woman who is the author of a new book that's just been launched called Broadcasting Happiness, and she's also the founder of the Institute for Applied Positive Research. She's an expert in science, in the science of positive communication, and really on how to fuel success. Michelle has worked with Fortune 500 companies and it's going into schools, and she's really focusing in on how to raise engagement, employee engagement, productivity, and happiness at work. So she knows all about this. She has a Master of Applied Positive Psychology from the University of Pennsylvania. And her background professionally actually started going into the broadcasting world and has been in an anchor on two national newscasts for CBS News. And now she's writing books and inspiring people and bringing joy and happiness into the workplace. So welcome, Michelle. So glad that you could join us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, we really appreciate this. And basically, I just want to start by asking you in general, what do you think are the most common characteristics to living a positive life? How would you define that?
I think living a positive life is all about having the right mindset through the process. In particular, maintaining an optimistic belief about the potential for our futures. When we are optimistic, we believe that good things will happen. We know that our behavior matters, and so we feel engaged through the process. I think when we are optimistic, in research, what we see is it transforms business and educational outcomes, including engagement, productivity, profitability. But beyond that, we just have higher levels of well-being, we experience the world differently, and we influence others in a positive way as well.
Well, that's great. It seems to be like so many people are kind of jumping on this bandwagon, understanding how important it is, happiness in general, and bringing that into, you know, your life and your work and all of that. What would you say are the three most important findings when it comes to positive psychology, since you've been working with this for so long? Tell us a little bit about your perspective on that.
What we have found now is that there's this convincing, almost overwhelming body of research that says that when our brain is positive, it puts us in a high performance zone. So when we can have a more optimistic mindset, when we view stress as a challenge instead of a threat, when we're deeply connected to our social support network, we actually end up performing better. What we're also seeing now, and this is the exciting part because this is at the heart of my book, when we broadcast that mindset to others, we activate other people. And what I mean by that is that, so I came to see that we're all broadcasters. I thought it was some power reserved for, you know, news anchors that you can disseminate information and get people to make positive changes. But what I came to see as parents, as leaders, as you know, colleagues and friends, we're constantly broadcasting information, and what we choose to broadcast, those messages, whether they're I'm stressed, I'm tired, you know, I don't have time for you, or we're in this together, we will overcome these challenges, good things will happen. Those small shifts to our communication style can transform how other people experience the world. And what is also exciting, so that sort of that third finding is, when we broadcast that positive mindset, we create a feedback loop. So we are getting other people as well to broadcast it back to us. Happiness of everyone rises.
You know, it's so interesting because the science is now catching up to a lot of things that we couldn't really find tangible before, like, you know, our emotions. Our emotions actually send out a frequency, which I love your you know, use of the word broadcasting, because we are all broadcasting on some level. Our emotions actually have a frequency that science is proving out there. And I think it makes it not so fluffy or out there when people are realizing that there's scientific studies that back this. And it helps people to realize, okay, there's something to this then. But, you know, we all can walk into a room and you can feel good, feel bad based on what you're picking up there too. So it's really interesting. Why would you say that positive psychology is so important for today's business world?
Positive psychology has become this essential tool, I think, not only for professional success, but also for personal higher levels of well-being. It's absolutely amazing what we've seen in the case studies that we've been fortunate enough to be part of at the companies we've been working with. And just to give you a couple examples, we did some work with Nationwide Brokerage Services. They're a wholly owned subsidiary of Nationwide Insurance. And the narrative at their office for a long time, and this is a common narrative, was if you are happy and having too much fun, you must not be working hard enough. And so why not put your nose to the grindstone, work hard, and when we see your sales numbers, when you hit those, then we'll all be happy, right? But what the president of the company saw with the research was, hey, maybe there's a different way we can approach this, and maybe it'll actually lead to better business outcomes. So he, along with the employees there, decided to rewrite the narrative fully. And so the new narrative was, we believe in investing in our happiness. We know that higher levels of well-being leads to higher levels of performance. And so in 20 different ways, we are going to make this a happier place to work. And it was very smart, targeted ways. Anyway, guess what? Within a few years, they were actually able to raise their levels of profitability. They went from revenues of $350 million to more than $1 billion. That's just in a few years. It's remarkable. So what I see is that it's not only a better place to work for the individual employee and for the business teams, but it also is better for full business outcomes as well.
And how long would you say it's realistic for companies to expect this type of a transformation? I'm sure that's the $1 million question for everybody, but it doesn't happen overnight, Yes. But it can happen fairly quickly if you get everybody on board, right? But what would you say maybe is a realistic expectation for executives and managers to look at?
I mean, I think it's hard to say the exact time frame for sure. But I think it's what is exciting is that it's actually shorter than we anticipated for many of our clients. The reason is that this is not one of those initiatives that you need to shove down people's throats. They intuitively get it. Oftentimes they are starving for it. They want to know, how do I apply positive psychology and the happiness research on a day-to-day basis that allows me to have better client phone calls, so I'm talking to them in a way that resonates more with them and ultimately increases sales? How do I have better team meetings so the level of creativity that comes out of those meetings is higher? The positive psychology gives people now the actionable strategies to be able to put that into practice. And so we see business results fairly quickly. There was a study that found that optimistic salespeople outsell their pessimistic counterparts by 37%. And that study was done, the change was seen over the course of 1 year. So the transformation happened pretty quickly.
So everybody has to deal with negative people in their lives. We all have that, regardless if it's at home or at work or, wherever the case might be. What would you say are some ways that we can stimulate these negative people that might be around us, or passive people even, to become more positive, to start thinking differently? What can we do as individuals, knowing this information and becoming empowered ourselves, but how can we shift other people that are around us that maybe don't have this and aren't maybe so interested in all of it? What would you recommend for that?
So I love that you're asking this question in the first place, because I think it speaks to you bucking the trend that I find with a lot of people. So we've all had that one experience with a negative person that we really tried to change their mindset. We've worked on them and nothing seems to work, right? They still keep seeing the world in a negative way. So what I think happens is that people very naturally sort of globalize this and say, well, then you can't change other people. And what we're seeing in the research and what your question is pointing to is that, no, absolutely you can. But maybe perhaps the best strategy based upon the studies that we've been doing is, instead of going in after that one really negative person, it's best to influence the environment around them. And what I mean by that is that we did a really interesting study with Training Magazine, and we found that 31% of people are optimistic, but they're not expressive of that mindset. And what that means is you've got 1 in 3 people around you, on your business teams, around the dinner table with your family, or in any group setting that could potentially be an ally for you as you try to broadcast a positive message in a way that can tip the culture to positive. So the best way to get those people activated and also influence the negative person is actually to model the positive behavior yourself. Be more expressive of resources, wins, successes, progress, all of those things that sometimes we celebrate for a second and then we forget about, right? Instead, we want to continually refocus attention on all of that, because that is actually the fuel that helps us be more successful moving forward. A lot of people believe that we need to focus on all the negative stuff and the things that are not working well in order to make progress. But what we're seeing is we want to take a realistic assessment of the present moment. Very important to be in touch with reality. But the more we can focus our brain on the resources and wins, the more fuel it has to be successful.
Oh, that's just, so true. I mean, I know that from my personal life experience and from, doing the research on this and just how much we can have an impact with people. And I think it's great that, there are people like you out there that are broadcasting this message. And it's interesting from your perspective coming out of the media, which does tend to focus so much on negative, basically it's if it bleeds, it leads type of mentality, which I think is just a little sick actually. But why would you say that the media is that way? And do you think people are interested in hearing positive stories?
Absolutely. People are. So when I was working at CBS News as a national anchor, I would broadcast one story after another that was negative. Basically, I got tired of doing that. And more importantly, I wanted to figure out how to tell stories, negative news, in a more effective way that sparked positive change. And there's absolutely a way to do that. It's about being more solutions focused, looking at the trajectory of the story and understanding the full story and its impact. So I think what's happening there is negative news, the way we're seeing it right now, is a manifestation of the threat-focused mind. Our brain is exceptionally focused on threats and stresses in our environment, and rightly so, because originally, if we didn't focus on the threats, we were lunch, right? Because the saber-tooth tiger came out of the bush and ate us. Now life is different. Life is much more stable. We're living in the safest times in human history, according to Steven Pinker, a Harvard researcher. So let's move our brain into a place that is better suited for this kind of environment. This constant stream of negative news is telling us, basically, that our behavior doesn't matter. Negative news, can't do anything about it. Another story, can't do anything about it. And what happens is that bleeds into our workday. So we just completed some research with Arianna Huffington. I did this with my husband and research colleague, Sean Acor. What we found is that if you are exposed to just 3 minutes of negative news in the morning, you have a 27% higher likelihood of reporting your day as unhappy 6 to 8 hours later. Why that is remarkable is that we knew intuitively and in the research that if I see a negative story, I'm probably going to feel not so great right after. But now that influences the entire trajectory of our day, and we bring that mindset to work, to our kids, and to our homes. So whenever we can make that switch, and especially first thing in the morning, focus on content that is more positive, not only are we showing media that we are choosing that kind of content, and so therefore please create more of it, but also we're just doing better for our overall health and well-being.
But I would say it's just as important right before you go to bed too, to not watch the negative news either.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, basically the best way we can watch news these days is to focus on stories that are what I call transformative. I'm so passionate about this, I included a bonus section at the end of my book called A Journalist Manifesto. And in short, it makes a business case for why transformative journalism, which is activating, engaging, solutions-focused reporting, is good for business. So I looked at the research that shows that ad effectiveness and likelihood to purchase of products increases when the ads are placed next to positive content. So I hope news organizations read this document. But moreover, for the rest of us, when we're looking at which articles to click on online, we want to focus on the ones that are inspiring stories. They can start in a negative place, but they got to go somewhere from there. Stories that we can affect change on. And it's not about puppies and kitties. It's about so much more. And it's those kinds of stories leave our mindset in a good place to tackle challenges in our own life.
Basically, what you're saying is that we need to be very cognizant individually to discern what information we should take in, first of all. And then the more positive information we take in, the better naturally we're going to feel about that, right?
Exactly. And a lot of people say, well, but then you're ignoring the negative things going on. No. As a matter of fact, what we're doing is we're choosing the things that we can do something about. We're still staying informed, but we're not just opening up our hearts and our minds to every last tragedy going on in the world, which it doesn't do any good for us.
And I'm sure you've probably done some sort of research or study, know the study about this, on the impact it has health-wise, too, for an individual.
Yes, absolutely. So without a doubt, negative news has a direct negative effect on our health. And the study that I'm very excited to do in through the series with the Huffington Post is we're going to look at how news impacts your workout at the gym. Because what do most people do? They go to the gym, they get on the treadmill, and there's a wall of TVs in front of them. What you focus on, my hypothesis is it transforms your workout, the duration and effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be interesting. When is that going to be out? Or you're
in the process of doing that in the next 6 months or so. It's in the works.
Interesting. Yeah, that'll be great information, I think, for people to have. And I don't think people realize such simple things. I mean, just personally, I stopped watching the news years ago. I will read news, but I won't watch TV news because it's bombarding too much, and I just never felt good after it, and it just didn't resonate. So it may sound a little, you know, radical, but just turn off the TV and, you know, decide what you want to watch instead.
And what we're finding actually now, so I give talks to companies across the world, but really here in the United States, I ask this question more than overseas. And I, how many of you have slowed down watching your local news? 50% of the room raises their hands.
Wow.
And actually what people tell me afterwards is like, I don't even slow down. I stopped. So what we're seeing is a trend towards people realizing the impact that news has on their brain and their health and their outlook on life and making positive choices as a result.
Interesting. So I have to shift a little bit here because I'm all about joy, and I call myself the chief joy bringer. That's like my word. But what would you say is the difference between happiness and joy? I'd like to get your perspective on that.
So happiness is an interesting word. Some companies don't want us even to use happiness in the title when we give keynote presentations, which I always find interesting and understandable because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it means. Happiness can be, and this is not how we look at it, but happiness can be pleasure. It can be a chocolate bar or bonbons on the couch, right? And that's wonderful to have those moments of you know, just excitement and happiness. But what we look at it as is the joy we feel growing towards our potential. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is that it's happiness is available in the ups and downs of life. You can still feel that joy through that growth. And it denotes that there's no final destination. This is a process. So we can feel the joy as we grow towards our potential as parents, as business leaders, as friends, as someone who plays a cello. It can be really anything. So that's how we study it and how we term it in our work.
That's a good definition. The word I use, or the definition I like to use for joy, is it's happiness infused with love. And that just, it's something that's internal, versus happiness to me is something that might be external, where you're eating the bonbons or whatever on the sofa. But it's, and I think it doesn't matter to me in terms of what words we use. The message is the same. And everybody out there has these types of messages that are very positive, empowering, inspiring. We all might use a little bit of different language or lingo or whatever, but it's the same. The core is the same message. And how do you reach your full potential as a human being?
Yes, absolutely. So my book is considered a business book. And so in the conclusion, way at the end, is when I'm love the conclusion of all the parts of the books the most, because in it I said something to the extent of that happiness points to love. And I know that might be a bit squishy for a business book, but truly those moments when at work when we bring ourselves fully and when we broadcast that positive mindset, when we connect deeply with other people, those are moments in which we're experiencing love and broadcasting that love to others in a way that fuels everybody. So happiness points to love in my mind, and I've seen it at play, even though sometimes as corporate execs don't want to look at it that way.
And again, coming back to the business world, I mean, people feel sometimes very disempowered that, oh, I can't make an influence, I can't make a difference here. But the bottom line is you absolutely can, because you can have come in with a positive attitude and a positive feeling, and that will spread. This negative and positivity is contagious, right?
So absolutely.
Spread.
So what we see is that emotions can spread in an instant. If you send three people into a room, you test their mood before, you send them into a room, you have them spend just 2 minutes together. The two least expressive, both verbally and non-verbally people, will actually absorb the emotions of the third most expressive person. So it's not the negative or positive person that wins the battle for culture and our companies and our families. It's the most expressive person.
How interesting. So let's imagine, give us a scenario here that someone is going to run a meeting and they want to bring some, you know, a good feel or energy to it. How should they position it and what should they do in that meeting so that they are kind of the spreader of joy or whatever the case might be? What would you recommend for them?
The best and easiest thing to do is to start the meeting off with what I call a power lead. So you mentioned that it leads, old adage.
Yeah.
Well, we want to take the absolute opposite approach. A power lead is a positive, optimistic, inspiring beginning to a conversation, to a meeting, to an email, phone call. Anytime you have an interaction with another person or a group of people, start with something positive. What that does is a number of things. First of all, it pushes everyone's brain focused on that positive thing that you're talking about. We are often we often match the mood of other people. So if I say something positive to you, most likely you're going to say something positive to me. And it sets the social script. The most charismatic person is the person who comes in and writes the social rules of engagement. As a manager, if we're running a meeting, starting off with a recent win, a success that we've had. My favorite example was a manager that we worked with out in California. He started with three gratitudes. One thing he was grateful for about life in general, one thing he was grateful for about the team in general, and then one thing he was grateful for about someone specific on the team. It's a 45-second intervention. He still got to all the fires that they needed to put out, but what he saw was when he started that practice a couple months later, team productivity increased, social cohesion on the team increased, because they started with a different mindset. So the power lead is exceptionally powerful. It's just whether we use it or not.
And how can managers start to track this information? I mean, that's I think where people have had a hard time, especially in the business world, of, you know, saying this is a bit fluffy or whatever, because it doesn't feel tangible. But research is showing it is tangible. But what do you recommend in terms of how to make it measurable for people?
So we've run into this quite often with companies that we work with that they track metrics, but the metrics are not necessarily predictive of anything because they sort of these two pieces of the puzzle haven't been fit together. And that doesn't help when you have a new HR initiative or a manager tries something new. Those kind of readings are not helpful because, you know, it's not predictive of anything. So what we try to do is we come in and we say, okay, you've been tracking for the last 5 years engagement scores. Awesome. So now what we need to see is what is that predictive of? Is that predictive of profitability, performance, social cohesion? And we try to link some of that data so that we know that when we increase engagement by 5%, then we can see that profits rise by 20%. But I think there's a lot of good metrics out there. Gallup organization and a handful of others offer them. It's just taking that next step to understand when we do one thing, it makes a difference over here.
So it's linking the two kind of in a logical way that you can see when doing one has the impact on the other, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what to invest in because we don't want to, you know, it doesn't make sense to invest your time in something that's not going to work.
Exactly. Okay. So as an individual now, you have this wealth of information, and I'd love for you to empower, you know, the people that are watching, our audience now. Give them three tips of advice, three things that they can do that will help them to become more positive in general, that they can just very tangible start working with. What would you recommend there?
Absolutely. So first things first is use the power lead in your conversations. And the next time someone asks you, hi, how are you? Be really mindful about what you say. Instead of saying, and I've been guilty of this myself, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm so stressed. Blah, blah, blah is going on. And even fine, thanks. That's neutrality is a missed opportunity for positivity. Be really intentional about expressing something positive. And it can be simple. I'm doing great. I had breakfast with my son this morning and he was being so funny. That small moment allows someone to have a window into your world and connect more deeply with you, and most likely they're going to reciprocate that positivity. The next thing I love is when you open up your email inbox, for a lot of people, this is a moment of stress. Oh my goodness, look at all that I have to do today. So before you go looking at the messages, open up a fresh one and send an email to one person in your social support network praising or thanking them. Quick two-minute email, do this for a new person each day. We always recommend for a period of 21 days, but if you've got more than 21 people you want to send notes to, awesome. Why this is important is that it communicates to your brain, and first of all, it's addictive. After the third day, you're like, I send emails. but also communicates to your brain what deep levels of social support you have in your life. And social support is the greatest predictor of happiness that we have. So if you can boost the levels of social support, you're boosting your long-term levels of happiness at the same time. Plus, it's always nice to get those emails in return, but that's not why we do this practice. And then lastly, I would say also early in the morning, find at least one transformative journalism news story that motivates you. So one, and this can be any kind of positive content. I love this former anchor that I know who's now a financial advisor. He says, basically my job is I want to make people's dreams a reality, right? Their retirement dreams, their dreams for right now. And I can do that through the work I do financially with them. So what he does is every morning he pumps himself up in the car ride on the way to work. He pops in MP3s from leaders that he connects with, and he gets their advice. He's getting his mind in the right zone. So, and what happens with that is the more we can bolster our positive resources, the less stresses, negativity, hassles, and complaints from other people, negative people, affects us. We are so strong in our positive mindset that we're not so swayed.
Oh, we broke up a little bit on that last one. Hopefully. Are we okay on recording?
Now, yeah, right. I can hear you. I just
I lost the last part and it actually didn't come through so well. So what was the last part of what you just finished saying?
I just said the more that we can bolster our positive resources or positive mindset, the less the external world, if it's negative, affects our brain and our mindset.
Okay. Those are such fabulous tips. I love that email. Send an email before you even start reading your emails, because that I can see how it would be addicting. Yeah. What a great idea that is. And I love what you said. Neutrality is a missed opportunity for positivity. Wow. That's powerful. Michelle, this is great stuff. I told you before we started, I it's like mining for gold when I do these interviews, because there's so many nuggets of gold that come out of it. But before we wrap it up here, I do want to find out more about the work that you're doing with this Institute for Applied Positive Research. Yes. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing there. I think it sounds very interesting.
What we've done is we've teamed up with researchers from top academic institutions, including Harvard, Stanford, Yale, and we are asking questions around performance and mindset, specifically in the work setting. So we've been fortunate to have many clients who are interested in studying this more deeply, and the research results so far have just been fascinating, because we've had case studies like Nationwide that I mentioned earlier and a handful of others where we've seen that when we improve mindset, we also improve business and educational outcomes. For me personally, the most exciting research we're doing right now, though, is not in the corporate world. It's the work we're doing with Arianna Huffington, because I am 100% convinced that the message that we receive from the news, if we can make small changes to those, we can have an incredibly transformative effect on our health, our societal progress, and overall levels of well-being. So I'm very fascinated to see what these research studies, what research results we're getting from these studies.
Well, that's so exciting. And I love how Arianna is changing the whole way we are receiving news as well. So she's definitely one of the leaders out there that are showing us a new way of doing things and disrupting a traditional industry, which I'm seeing all over the place right now, which is needed. So, wonderful. Well, you have been just a complete joy to talk to. How can people find out more about you?
Oh, thank
where
you
can
so
we send them?
Feeling is mutual. So you can go to probably the easiest one to remember, because my last name is challenging to spell and pronounce sometimes, but is the book website, which is broadcastinghappiness.com. And I actually invite your viewers to take the success scale, which is a free 30-question assessment. It's we've rigorously tested this at companies around the globe, and it'll tell you your levels of the three greatest predictors of success: optimism, how you view stress, a challenge, or a threat, and your levels of social support provision, and also how expressive you are of that positive mindset. Are you a positive broadcaster? So I encourage everyone to stop by and take it and share it with people they like.
Yeah, I took that. It's great. I love the information I got from it. And that's they can find that then at the broadcastinghappiness.com. Yeah. So we will send people there, and hopefully, you know, and is that information that you're collecting from those answers going into some sort of research behind you?
Yeah, we would love to take a look at that data from a research standpoint. This is right now just a tool we're offering, because we are so excited about it and the value that the results can bring to you, you know, your mindset, how you approach your work. But yeah, I mean, that's the research is these kind of results are always fascinating.
Great. And definitely, you know, pick up a copy of this book, because it's a great book, and I think it'll help, you know, shift your mindset a bit, again, opening it up to how you are becoming empowered, how you can be empowered, and really in broadcasting your emotions and feelings and how you can have an impact with other people. So thank you again so much, Michelle. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we really appreciate your brilliance and genius that you're bringing out into the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much for broadcasting all of this. I am so eternally
agree. We are. We're broadcasting. All right. Take care. Thanks.
Bye.